Hello, everyone, and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. I am here with Angela Zabel, that's me, and we are here with Alejandra G. Brady, and this is going to be an amazing show. So she is an intuitive, she is an author, she does feng shui, she does so many things, but we are here also going to be talking about unveiling the spiritual gifts and her book that she has coming out. So you definitely don't want to miss that because it's called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up. So it's going to be a fun one. So I'm here today. My name is Angela Zabel. And who am I? I am a teacher, coach, and medium. I have connected with spirit my entire life, and I work with the team in the non-physical. And because of that, I share a multitude of messages from a multitude of realms that are out there. So there's not just one realm when you start working with the non-physical. And because of that, again, I am a teacher, coach, medium. I'm a radio show host, a writer, a retreat host, a gallery reader, and a speaker. And I also speak, I do speaking engagements and work with people around the world online and in person. And because of that, I also offer classes and the Amplified Universe monthly membership. And this is all about growing who we are, understanding who we are with ourselves, our world, all that is around us and all that is beyond and our role in it, sharing knowledge and working with others around the world. You can find out more about me and all the social media aspects. And the biggest thing, go to my website, angelazabel.com. And today we are here with Edge Magazine. So Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, wellness, and the mysteries beyond. Sharing information, wisdom, and resources. They are committed to promoting businesses and organizations and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. And they're currently distributed in 30 states plus Canada with over 17,000 magazines print per printing. But they also have a vibrant online magazine, and that has over 42,000 people reached per month. So you can have a magazine shipped directly to your door. You can stay up to date with their newsletter, or you can become a drop spot and check out more about them at edgemagazine.net. And today we are here with Alejandra G. Brady. She has an award-winning book that bears the title that prepares you for what is to come. And that is, I Just Can't Make This Shit Up. At 50, this very successful interior designer was suffering from cervical compression and feeling something was missing from her life. So she took a pause and launched into a spiritual journey. And as she did that, she started journaling a book. And as she did that, her transformation began. And then she hired a feng shui master to do a consultation on her home as she prepared for the cervical fusion. It was during this consultation that the woman told her instantly that Alejandra would soon follow in her footsteps, even though Alejandra was in disbelief, which I can imagine that. But when Alejandra began applying the feng shui principles to her home, massive transformation occurred for her health, her relationship with her husband, and her financial outcome. But much more was to come, allowing her to accept the spiritual gifts that began when she first saw someone at her bedside who had just passed over. As she opened to her spiritual exploration, amazing synchronicities, astonishing experiences, and spiritual ahas just kept showing up. Hence the book, I Just Can't Make This Shit Up. Overcoming fear and accepting her spiritual gifts, Alejandra is globally sought after feng shui consultant, combining the Eastern art of home energy enhancements and her design skills with her intuitive knowing about the clients and what she felt energetically about the homes. She is here to offer more of her amazing story and some thoughts on how you might open up to your own spiritual gifts and the abundant life that awaits you. And make sure to check out more about her. Again, go on Amazon and multiple other places to find her book, I Just Can't Make This Shit Up. And also check out her website, Alejandra Brady. com. And also she is on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and all those links will be down below. So don't worry about if you missed them because I do talk fast sometimes. I am from the Midwest. But Alejandra, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it greatly. And I'm just curious, When this whole journey started for you, how did you go from where you were, the normal person per se, to stepping into this spiritual world?
Well, first of all, Angela, thank you for having me, and I'm going to get myself comfortable here. Yes, that is a great question. I dated my husband. I met him when we were in college. So I was 18 when we started dating. So from 18 to 50, I'm this one person. And then at 50, I'm like, whoo, totally different human being. And he's just like, what's going on? I felt like, what's going on? I blame it all on feng shui because once I feng shui'd my house and my house was energetically aligned, it started me down this rabbit hole of wanting to learn more about different spiritual modalities. And then as I did that, that's how the spiritual journey really began. As the first thing I wanted to dive into was like meditation. Well, one of the first meditations I ever did, by myself that I consider like a real meditation, I got told, I'm very clairaudient, in my right ear by Archangel Michael, because I said, who is this? He goes, you're going to be writing a book. And I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. I have no interest in doing this. What else you got for me? What else can I do? Because I had asked, I had actually very intently asked what my purpose was at this time on this planet. Our son had graduated from college and moved to Chicago. Actually, he lived in Chicago for the first few years after graduation. And was, living his best life. I was recovering from cervical fusion, and I was studying feng shui at the time. So I really was really, really intentional in what I was asking. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm kind of at a pivot point here, right? And I got told it was to write the book, and I just said, yeah, no, that's not what I want to do. I have no interest in being, quote unquote, an author or famous or talking to people. I'm like, no. I'm very good where I'm at. However, every day for the next 5 days, that conversation continued. Anytime I asked, I got told the same thing. So, as you know, you finally go, okay, fine, guys, but help me. What am I supposed to write about? And at that point, I call them they because it's like a whole team, right? Like we don't just have one person around us. I mean, Archangel Michael is who spearheaded this whole little campaign, but there's a whole team around me that I feel all the time, which I love. That's why I'm like, hey, if they want to come in and chat while we're talking, sure. They said, just start writing what happens to you. And I'm like,
Yes.
okay. And I did. And some days it was like nothing happened today. And that's what they said. You have to write something every single day. And literally, I was just like, nothing happened today. Other days it was pages. Other days it's like, I hate this. It was different every day. But eventually, as I really started tuning in and getting the opportunity to work with different healers, because suddenly I wanted to. I also had never really wanted to. I wanted to. And I had the opportunity to work with them. Then, like, some crazy stuff started happening. And then, all of a sudden, it started connecting dots from things that had happened to me since childhood that I never thought about. Like, I didn't know that I wasn't, or I was in the minority of people who could see dead people. Like, I just assumed everybody could. So I never talked about it to anybody because I just thought, well, can't everyone talk to people who've died? Like, it just never occurred to me that maybe not so much. So, as I started to connect those dots and put the puzzle pieces together and talk to healers and share this information with them, they helped me understand what I was, right? And they helped me with the terminology because I didn't have the terminology to describe A, what I was or what I was feeling or what was going on. And, so they're the ones that taught me words like you are clairvoyant, you are clairaudient. I'm like, I just hear things. So they explained those things and taught them to me and explained what they were and how to use them, how to protect myself, because that's very important when you're just starting this process. Everything comes in because everybody gets excited that somebody new can, and then you've got lots of noise. So like, I'm tired. I'm not sleeping because all night long it's just chatter. So they taught me how to protect myself. And that's how it started unfolding. That's how everything started. But it all started because I applied feng shui principles to my house and I energetically aligned the space, which then kind of opened those opportunities for me to really see what was meant for me.
That's something. There was a couple
That's
of really
true.
key talking points in there. Is for one thing, I always call them they too, because they're always switching and always changing. And I just got tired of their, I'm like, do you guys even care if I call you by a name? Do you really care? And they're like, no, we really don't care. I'm like, oh,
Right.
good, because I don't got time for
Yeah. We work as a team, you know, they'll just say we work as a team. So I'm like, okay, I'm like Council of Light, my parents, you know, archangels, masters. I'm like, okay, forget it. It's too source, God, universe, you know. I'm like, it's too many to name all everybody individually. Yeah.
It'd take you all day and all night, and you'd
It
still
would be.
end
Yeah. And spirit guides, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I don't you love that? I love that I always have just my back. Someone's always
there.
got my back. I feel it all the time.
And that's the nice thing is once you open up, and I like the fact that you really, the fear factor of it wasn't as much there. I don't feel with you. There's some people where it's very fearful. And you know, when you talked about seeing people in the physical, seeing people out there, a lot of people think, oh, that'd be really fun to do. But when it actually happens, it's a little freaky, I've
It
got
is. It is.
to
Yes.
say.
It is. My first experience was my boyfriend. He died in a car accident overnight. So like I knew who the person was. It wasn't that I can remember. Let me just say the first experience I can remember, which was when I was 16. So I knew him. You know what I mean? So it didn't really scare me because I knew the person. But yes, I can see that. And no, I was scared at the beginning. I was definitely a little bit more on the fearful side because when I first said yes, you know, you get asked if you want to accept your gifts and then you can say yes or no, free will. I said yes, only of the light, you know, and only in everyone's highest and greatest good who's involved. And, but then it was a party and then it got to be too much. So there was a point where I'm like, okay, how do I stop this? Because I can't control them, right? Like they're all excited that I'm here and that I finally, after 50 years, can see them or hear them or listen to them or pay attention to what they're trying to tell me. But it was too much. So then I worked with the healers to show me not so much out of fear, but just out of like, I need to rest, you know, and to show me how to create boundaries, how to create office hours, how to create, you know, that division from yes, I'm very willing to hear you and follow what you're guiding me to do. But, you know, they have no concept of time and space. But it's 3 a.m. and I do. And I have to get up tomorrow morning and I'm super tired and I can't have all of you in my room right now. So, and that's good for people to know too, because I do truly feel so many people are waking up right now. And if it feels too overwhelming, you know, there's certainly that like, oh, forget this. I don't want any of this. I'm out. You know, I think that there's a very real chance that a lot of people might want to do that. So part of the book was to tell people, like, stick with it. You know, it will get better. You have the ability to set those boundaries that work for you and how you can help others. Because that's the whole point of all this, right? They're not talking to us just for our benefit. It's for us to help others.
Absolutely. And the idea, you know, a lot of people get woken up in the night and I was there too. It's like, oh my God, I need some sleep at some point. You guys need to like go to bed.
Yes. Or the hugs. Like, have you ever been hugged at night?
Oh,
I've
yes.
gotten hugged and my hand held, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, dude, you know? And I remember getting a really big one, and I heard two men laughing. And I woke up that morning and I told my husband, I said, I don't know what's going to happen today, but something's going to happen today because here's what happened to me. And one of my favorite uncles passed away. So it was my dad and my uncle that came. And my cousin called me, like, by 10 a.m., I got the phone call. My dad passed away. I'm like, oh, of course, that's what happened, you know. But, you know, I'm glad you guys are laughing and having fun that you've been reunited. But it is about 4:30 in the morning here in Tampa, and I just need some rest. And I mean, it's a little freaky to get woken up with somebody like rubbing you or hugging you or touching you. Like you're just like,
And
yeah.
feeling their presence in the room,
Yes, it
feeling their
takes a minute.
presence. It's like, oh, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I wish I could do that. And it's like, you have to realize it's not the, oh, this is really cool and just fun. And there is some, you know, a little bit of hesitation on as a human, because as a human, we have this innate ability in us where when things are off, it's our fright or flight, our fight or flight mechanism kicks in. So you have to realize that's there first. But to be able to know that you have control to tell them, hey, okay, that was fun, but maybe next time, let's wait till 7 a.m.
Well, and you know, it's so funny because feng shui is all about creating safety and security and balance and harmony in your space and having your bed in command position, which means you can see the door, you know, go back to like caveman times. You know, you don't want your back to the entrance of the cave because the saber-toothed tiger can come and get you, right? You want to be facing the entrance, but you don't want it directly in front of you either. You want to kind of be off to the side where you can see it. So feng shui is all about creating this safety thing, and you've created all this, and then there's someone grabbing you in the middle of the night, and you're just like, oh, you know, my
So
head's gonna explode.
the feng shui, it worked awesome. It brought them in and they were there. It was so inviting.
It was. And so I don't know how you are, but like for me, I can't have mirrors in my bedroom. I
Oh,
don't know if you can or not. For me,
don't
mirrors are a
have it.
portal. And if I have a mirror that faces the bed or is anywhere in the bedroom, it just like party time. So I've taken them all out. For some people, it doesn't bother them at all. For others, super, super, super sensitive to that energy because it's, you know,
Interesting.
very yang energy. So I just was wondering if you had that or not.
I don't have any mirrors in our
Ooh,
bedroom.
don't put one in.
So I'm like, never thought of that. No, I don't have any. I
Yeah,
don't think we
don't put
ever
one
have.
in.
I don't think we ever have. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And it's interesting because I also have had a an interaction with things that were coming out of a mirror in someone else's bedroom. So it's like, yeah, you might want to, maybe just keep it in the bathroom or in the closet, but not in your bedroom where you're at all the time.
If you're
So
super sensitive to it, you know, I have had some clients that had, you know, this gargantuan mirror that was facing right at their bed. And so, of course, I was like, ooh, you know, they're like, oh no, we love it. We love to watch ourselves. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, how do you sleep? Great. Okay. Not a problem for you, you know. But for those of us that are super sensitive, and certainly people come in and chat with us and all that, they could be a little bit disruptive. So, that's just a little feng shui tip for the other side.
that's a good thing for a lot of people to know because a lot of people don't realize. And that's the other thing is we've been talking about feng shui, and maybe you should let people know what feng shui is for some people who don't know what it is.
Happy to. So feng shui is an ancient Chinese practice that dates back like between 4 to 6,000 years, depending on the textbook. It was originated by people that worked for the emperors, like monks and stuff of that nature, like that kind of person that would work for the emperor, to try and scout out the most auspicious location to locate their burial sites, then their temples, then their homes. And so it kind of got more and more, unified, I guess, as to like, you know, more and more things started getting feng shuied. And it's just been carried down. And I was taught by somebody who learned from the person who brought it to the Western world. So I am certified in BTB feng shui, which is a more Western approach. There are multiple schools of feng shui. And I always tell people this too. Like, if you start to get interested and you're questioning and you want to start diving, find a couple of people that you like on Instagram. Look at their posts. If you resonate with what they're saying, find out what kind of certification they have, and then stick to that school of feng shui because a lot of people get very confused when they try and bring in the different schools. The basic principles are the same across the board, but they have different ways of getting there.
Got
So, you know what I mean? So it just, I find it very helpful. Most of the time when people are confused, it's because they've been taking a little bit from here, a little bit from here, a little bit from here. And then they're like, I don't even know where to start anymore. I'm like, okay, well, which one resonates the most? And let's look at that. And sometimes I'm not the teacher. If somebody resonated with the compass school more, then I'm like, then I'm not the teacher for you. You need to find somebody who teaches or who does compass feng shui. So that's all. But it's a way of bringing your home, your office, your space, whatever it is, your desk, into alignment so that opportunities can come to you. So it's not transactional. You know, some people think that, like, you know, if this is a plant, if I put a plant right here, then tomorrow I'm going to have money because I put it like
No.
in the wealth corner of my desk. It's not transactional. Sometimes things do manifest very quickly, but what it is super intentional. You are placing an item in a certain position for a certain reason, because you are calling in that opportunity, or the opposite. You're getting rid of stuff to call in opportunities, right? My teacher used to tell me, you know, if somebody's trying to hand you $1 million and your hands are full, how are you going to take it? So you have to also make space in your home for office or desk, whatever the case may be, for opportunities to find their way to you. So a lot of times it's not about placing items, it's about getting rid of clutter, whether it's mental clutter or physical clutter. You know, if it's clutter in your attic, it could be mental clutter. If it's clutter in your basement, it could be subconscious things that you're not dealing with. If it's clutter at eye level, everyday obstacles in your way. So it's really layered. It's a beautiful practice, and I'll spend my entire life continuing to learn because it's not a, you know, you're not just done, even though I'm fully certified in it. I always will take continuing education programs, and I always want to learn from other practitioners too, you know, because we might have a little bit of different ways to do it, and why not learn from other people as well? But it's a beautiful practice that helps kind of bring your whole space into alignment.
And I think that's what you had mentioned too about resonating, what you resonate with. That's so important for people to realize. If something doesn't resonate with you, then you need to go another
Walk
direction,
away.
move that through. And also the learning, the continuing learning, we should all be continually learning because the energy shifts. I mean, I'm sure you felt a big shift in the last few years. And how has that affected that energy shift? Has it affected how you do things with feng shui, or has it made certain things come to the surface more than maybe what they had before?
Well, what's so interesting there is when I first got certified, so I was 50 when I got my 51 by the time I got my certification. So that was 2018. So it was a little bit before COVID. I was under the impression, and I felt that I could only do a good job if I was in your space, like physically.
Got it.
And then COVID comes, right? And I was very hesitant to offer online consultations because I just didn't think that I could read a space the way I read it if I was in there. And then one day I just said, you know what, I'm going to try because somebody asked me and I couldn't get to them. I'm like, I'll give it a try. Let's see how we do. And then I found I was able to do it. I do them on FaceTime versus Zoom because it's easier for a person to walk around with their
Yeah.
phone or their camera and like show me everything. So we do exactly what I would do if I was in person. We start at the front door. They show me the entire entrance because everything starts there. That's the mouth of chi. That's where all your energy comes into your home. And then we do the walkthrough, same as if I was there in person. And then I found that I could. So I overcame that fear and found that then I could work with people globally. So up until COVID, I hadn't tried, to be honest, because I just didn't think that I could. And then once I tried it and found that it still worked the exact same way, I'm like, wow. Well, then I can offer my services globally. And I've done people all over the world, which is such a cool thing. You know, it's like, oh, you're in Monaco. Oh, you're in Ireland. Oh, you're in England. Like, it's just really, really fun to be and to see how people live in different places. We travel a lot too, so I do get to see. But, you know, traveling and staying in hotels is very different than seeing inside someone's home and how they live in a different part of the world. So that's been a learning experience for me too. Something that I wouldn't think might work for somebody in Florida. They're like, well, no, but we need this here for X, Y, and Z. I'm like, okay, well, then we work with that. So it's a learning experience for everybody.
I think that's something so important for people to realize, and how you've stepped into realizing energy is energy, doesn't matter where you're at in the world, but it all translates. And when everything went crazy and everybody had to go online and do things, it was so fun for me to see so many different businesses starting to find new ways of reaching people, and how people were more apt to go, oh, you know what? It does work. I really like this, and giving the ability to reach people all around the world. So I think that's so cool that you were able to do that and take it to that next level. And I'm just laughing because the team behind me is
Oh yeah, what
laughing.
are they
They're like,
saying?
yeah, we kept prodding and prodding and pushing.
They're right, they did, and I was scared. You know, I'm like, no, I can't do it. I won't be able to do a good job, you know. But yes, the other thing I will say though, on the flip side, and I actually my current post on Instagram right now is very relevant to this. With everybody on Zoom, I also think it's super, super important to clear you and your space daily because energy is energy and we are exchanging energy, you know. And when you are all day online and on Zooms, and suddenly you might feel really drained and you're like, why am I so tired? I was just on calls all day, but I didn't, you know, I wasn't exerting myself. It's because that energy exchange is still happening. So just a little, another little feng shui tip, like make sure that you're clearing yourself and your space every time. I do it in between each call just to A, come with a neutral state of energy for you, and then B, to clear myself afterwards in case anybody decided to hitchhike along with us. And then when you're doing lives and you're talking to other people and people are coming in on a chat and stuff like that, there's a whole bunch of extra people that you have no idea what their energy is like. So whether it's meetings or lives or Zooms or just I think clearing is super important in this new modality of us living and working on computers as well too.
Absolutely. That's something I do is I usually try to, when I'm done, I'll walk outside. If it's warm, it's warmer by you than it is by me. So.
Hot.
But when it's nice out, I'll try to go outside and just kind of release everything and come back in and start over to be that fresh for the next person that's coming in line. And I think that's something so important. And they're kind of laughing right now as I'm hearing the other ones on the other side. They want to kind of go back into. They want to do two things. First, they're like, they want to talk about clutter first, and they want to talk about clutter, and then they're going to go back into something where they pushed you a little bit.
This is so funny. I mean, this is going to be the best interview ever on the planet. I love this so much. All right, what do they want to know about clutter? They just want me to talk a little bit more about how clutter affects people.
They want you to, you've seen how clutter, releasing clutter around you makes a difference in people. And you talked about the emotional clutter and maybe why people have clutter and maybe ways to clear that a little bit.
So my guess is they want me to talk about all the stuff I inherited from my parents. I mean, I've done hundreds of consultations at this point too, right? But my personal story with clutter was when my parents passed away. They passed away when I was 38. My mom dropped dead of a heart attack all of a sudden, like standing on the floor, gone. My dad died 6 months to the day after she did because he just was not interested in being here anymore when she was not here. So I inherited a lot of their stuff. And when the consultant we hired came to our house, because that's how it started, she said, and it was the first time anybody had said that to me, she goes, "This doesn't look like you. Like, this doesn't represent you." And you can see, I mean, this is my office. I'm not a minimalist, but I kept all these things out of obligation that they had come from them, even though, A, I didn't like them, truly didn't like them. And as an interior designer, that's a lot for me to keep stuff that I don't like. But I felt such an obligation. And so it was a mental attachment to the things, not a physical, because I didn't like them. And she did what is one of the best things that I do when I work with clients all the time, too. She gave me permission to let them go. And I thought that was so powerful. And it goes back, to the two hands full. Like, how can anything else come into your life when you are surrounded by things that you don't love? And that you're keeping out of guilt and obligation. And it was causing an emotional clutter situation for me, right? Because I was emotionally attached to them, not physically, since I didn't physically like the items in my home, but it was emotional. So it was just such a release. And we were able to find people to gift them to that love them. And so
Nice.
we donated some things, we gifted some things. I also got told if anything was broken, my mom was a big one for if something broke, start super gluing it all back together, and then keeping it because heaven forbid you might not buy another vase. And that led to a mentality of lack,
Yes.
right? That you would not be able to afford to buy a new one if you got rid of that. So a lot of their things also were super glued or repaired or something like that. So being able to let go of all of that was kind of what invited in the book and my spiritual journey and everything else, because I released all that clutter. And I do. I mean, I work with clients all over. For the most part, clients come to me for they're looking for wealth, they're looking for partners, they're looking for health. Those are the big three. And I'll actually, I have a feng shui card deck that I created too, and
I was
I'll
going
just
to
pull
ask
out.
you about that because I like, oh, you did the feng shui card deck. Yes.
But I'm just going to pull out the Bagua mat because this is how practitioners who practice BTB work. And so when we talk about clutter and stuff, we're going to use this. So we use this as our roadmap. We divide your home or space, desk, nightstand, bed, whatever, into the nine energetic areas of your life. So at the very entrance to your home, usually the door will line up with this. This is your career area. Going around, we'll have helpful people in travel. My office happens to be in helpful people in travel. I've had five international trips in the last 14 months, including
Nice.
Egypt, which was my bucket list item since I was 12.
Very
So
cool.
you can manifest it. Children and creativity. And this can be not only if you're calling in children, but if you're calling in a creative project or you can't finish a project or you can't focus on a project, go look at this area of your house. And my book came directly from here. My children and creativity area was blocked. And I didn't realize it till I got in there and unblocked it and removed things and left empty spaces. And then the creativity was able, right, to come in. They were
Nice.
able to come in and guide me. Love and relationships, and that could be not just your partner, but relationships in your life in general. Fame and reputation, how you are seen in the world, whether in business or not, because not everybody works, right? Some people are stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, but how you are seen by others. Up here we have wealth, and wealth goes beyond the basic necessities. So it's beyond being able to buy your food and clothing and that kind. For me, wealth is international travel and doing it well, you know, like just being able to go to the best places and stay at the nicest places and travel in style and all that stuff. That is what wealth means to me. To somebody else, it's a boat. To somebody else, it's a second home. You know, wealth means something different to everybody. So it's not a one size fits all. Family and ancestors. And then here's skills and knowledge. And in the center is health because health affects everything. So when someone comes to me and says, I want more wealth. Okay, well, sure. I will go look at the wealth corner of your space and see if there's clutter, if there's broken items, because broken items equals being broke. You know, if there's energy leaks, if there's toilets here, you know, I will go see. But if you also want wealth, you also need skills and knowledge. You know, if you don't know anything, how are you going to get wealth? If you don't have helpful people in your life, clients, vendors, whatever the case may be for you, how are you going to get wealth? If you don't have a good, if you're not being seen well, how are you going to get wealth? So, see, everything relates to everything else. So, people want me to just come in and focus. I'm like, no, it's a very layered approach. We have to look at everything because it's all connected. So, sure, I'll go look and let's declutter and see what's going on here. But I will look at every area of your house and see how it's relating to everything else. And then that's how we can uncover what's going on. Clutter under the bed, big no-no.
Oh,
Big
interesting.
no-no. I had a client who wanted to call in a new relationship. She was divorced and she'd had a gentleman who had moved in with her and then left. And she wanted to call in a partner that she felt would be her next long-term partner. And her house was in good shape. She was a Reiki instructor. So I'm like, I mean, it's in pretty decent shape. I'm not seeing anything, you know, screaming out at me. They're not yelling at me, telling me something's wrong. But I'm like, let's go into your bedroom. She had the two nightstands, the matching lamps. I'm like, okay, so what could it be? And then it was like, oh, what's under your bed? She goes, oh, just old papers. So I go, well, what's under your bed? Let's pull them out. And we pulled them out, and it was her divorce papers. It was letters from old lovers. It was gifts and mementos from other old boyfriends along the way. Everything with past people who had been partners. And I'm like, well, how can anyone else come in? You're full. The bed is full of people, you know, because that energy that you're sleeping on, I mean, there's like five guys in this bed with you right now. Like, how can anyone else come in? So, you know, clutter can be anything that is holding you back. You know, too many plants can be clutter if you can't take care of them and they're dying and they're, you know, plants are great. And everybody in feng shui will say, plants, plants, plants. I love them. I'm a little plant whore. I probably have 70 in our house. And my husband's like, can we stop? I'm like, hey, but I take care of them. They're all
One
doing
more.
great. They're all doing great. You know, it's every day, it's checking them and a little yellow leaf here and a little, you know, it's a constant thing. And you realize how much time it takes. Like if we were, when we were in Egypt, that we're gone for 2 weeks and came back, I'm like, what happened to everything? It's like, no, it's because I wasn't there every single day looking at them. So anything can become clutter that is creating obstacles for you. That pile of shoes by the front door, your collection of teaspoons, whatever it is, if it's out of hand, if it's taking over too much of your brain space or your house, then it's clutter and it needs to be addressed, you know. So,
That's very good information
are they
from
happy with
me.
that
They are
answer?
happy with that answer because it just feels, and I myself have just gone through where I lost a father-in-law, mother-in-law, and my mom in the last couple of years. So it's
I'm sorry, it's
so much
hard.
coming in, but it's good for people to realize that to be able to go through that and go through it in a way of releasing yourself from the energy it holds. I think that's something so important. And then that's why they wanted to bring that up. They're like, they needed that part brought up, the ability to release yourself from what it is emotionally and really make your house your own again.
And physically, you know,
Yeah.
I will tell you this, I can't promise these results. These results are not guaranteed, but about 80% of the clients I work with, when we get into their closets, because what is closest to you affects you the most. So what
Right.
you put in your mouth, what you put on your body, what you wear on your body, and then your bed, like those are the big mamas, right? And then your house, obviously, because you're
Right.
in it the majority of this time. But when we do a really good cleaning out of closets and really let go, you know, you're probably not going to get back into your high school jeans if you haven't gotten back into them in the last 40 years. Like, it might
Right.
be time to let them go, you know? And you
Maybe
can't
another
keep,
40.
right? Well, and you can't keep everything out of sentimentality because it's just taking up space. So when we do a truly hardcore clutter decluttering session, especially in closets or anything that's directly related to you, a lot of my clients lose 4 to 5 pounds.
Wow,
Happened even to
interesting.
me the very first time I did it, that I was hardcore, you know, and really got rid of stuff that, oh, but I might. Oh, but what happens if I can't afford to buy it again? And there comes that lack mentality,
Right.
right? My purses, when I have a scar here, I have cervical fusion. So I have a plate with six screws. So
Wow.
all of a sudden, all those big, huge handbags that we all wore in the 90s and the early 2000s, I mean, I can't carry them. My body can't carry that weight anymore. And they were super expensive. They've been gifts for years for my husband because that's my thing. And I had to let them go. And when I let them go, like, suddenly all people were gifting me like crazy. I mean, I'm talking Valentino handbags, like a gift. I'm like,
Wow.
you know, out of the blue stuff that you wouldn't expect, but it was because I let go something, even though it was beautiful and valuable, that wasn't working for me. And you can sell them. I'm not saying you have to just give thousands of dollars away. You can have your piles, get rid of anything that's, you know, all beat up, just toss, find people to donate, find people to gift things to, and sell, resell. I mean, that's great for the environment too. So there's so many different venues for letting go of the stuff that's not working for you anymore, that will make you feel good, that there's just no need to not do it, you know?
I love that. I love that. And they're very happy with that too, because they're like, there are so many people that are holding on to things out of obligation. And like you said, I purchased it for this much. I don't know if I'm going to get it back again. And the energy is shifting to bring in much more abundance as we go forward, if you're opening yourself up for it. So having that ability, having something simple as going through your home and just decluttering is so huge going forward.
And
And
if
then,
it feels too big, start with a drawer.
yeah.
And then from a drawer, go to a closet, you know? Then from a closet, go to a room. Like, you don't have to go on this massive overhaul because people will get so excited and go halfway through the decluttering process and then stop because it became
Stop
too much.
Yeah.
So take it little by little and you will do a much better job in the end.
Love that. Love that. And they wanted me to kind of go back a little bit in time for you. So when you started opening yourself up, you did the feng shui, everything started opening up, and you started. So they're telling me, they're backing me up even further. They're telling me that even though you saw some people when you were 16, you were actually experiencing things before, but it had been in a way of just getting you used to things without being frightening to you. And as you started opening yourself up and you saw your boyfriend that had passed away, and you've seen other people since then, but you didn't really share everything with your husband as you went along on this journey.
Oh, this is gonna be juicy. I love this interview. Oh my God.
So
They're
there's a lot
calling me out.
they are calling you out. So they're saying that as you went through this, there was a lot you were experiencing, but not sharing completely. And when you finally got to the tipping point when you had to, when you, I feel like you got called out on this a little bit. When that happened, how did it go with you and your husband? Because that's a huge change from going from this, this normal woman that he married to
Right.
now going, what did I marry?
Right. No, for sure. For sure. I mean, and it wasn't just him, it was family members. Our son, which by the way, our son has my gifts too, and he knows it. And he's almost 30, and he's had experiences, and he just says, I'm not ready yet. And I'm like, and that's fine too. That's back to the free will, right? You can set your timeline or your time frame till you're ready, but he acknowledges he has them, and that's good.
Yes.
One of the best examples of this topic is I went to do my first past life regression. God, those are one of my favorite things in the world to do. If I could do one of those every day, I mean, it'd be just so much fun. So I went and did it. There was this woman in Sarasota, and her name is in the book, and just I'm not good with names. It's gone off the top of my head right now, but she's phenomenal. And she had me, go into the state, and this little life played out, and then I thought I was done. And then she said, No, you can't leave yet. There's another one coming in. She said, usually people just go through one, but of course it was me. So I was going to go through two. So we went through the second one. And the second one I knew was coming. It's like I could just feel that this had to be told. I needed to hear this story. I was a sorceress, always light. Thankfully, I've always been a light being. I was a sorceress in medieval England. I could see my hair, like this long flowing cascading hair. I'm like, where's that in this lifetime? I would take that Rapunzel hair today. Like, please, hair extensions cannot create what this woman had at that time. She was gorgeous. And that's all I remember was her hair. It was like blonde, blonde hair. And I'm like, oh, love it. But I was talking in front of a campfire to like this group of people, peasants, obviously. And we're obviously, I was saying something against the king. The king's soldiers came. And they took me and they tied my hands and dragged me away. And so she got rope and tied my hands. And I was like, whoa.
Oh.
And so she tied them here. And I go, no, they did it this way. And so she pulled up my shoulders and tied me. And I had to act out this whole thing because I was hung. And she goes, this is your wound right here. This is your wound from that lifetime and this lifetime. I go, okay. And that's starting to use my voice, right? So after this whole process, I was there 3 or 4 hours. I drive back to Tampa because Sarasota is about an hour and a half. And my husband's waiting for me. He goes, would you like a glass of champagne? I'm going to get a beer. I'm like, sure. He goes, sit down, tell me all about it. So I sit down and I go through this whole thing with him. And I said, basically, the crux of the matter is I'm supposed to use my voice. I'm supposed to talk. I'm supposed to share my story. I'm supposed to use it to help others. And part of it is writing the book. Because at that point, I was still just kind of jotting things down, not sure what was going to come. I thought maybe they'd go away and leave me alone if I just started writing things down. So I tell him all this, and he looks at me so earnestly and he goes, but you're not going to tell anybody this, are you? They're going to think you're crazy. And I'm like, I literally just got told to use my voice, and you're telling me not to tell anybody. Like, that's where we were with things, right? And I get that, I mean, I totally get that because he was worried about me. What were our friends going to say? What were our families going to say if I'm suddenly walking around saying, in another lifetime, I was a witch. In another lifetime, I was this. We grew up Catholic. I was never not in a Catholic school from kindergarten till I graduated from the University of Notre Dame. Catholic school the whole way. Not a big topic of conversation in the Catholic circles.
Not usually, no.
And Mexican Catholic to that point, because I was raised right on the border with Mexico by my parents who adopted me. So these were not things we talked about, So it was a lot for everybody to take on. And I understand how much it was for him to take on too, and kind of have to be, he's kind of have to having to ride this fence of like, is she loony? Like, did she flip a switch? And what's happening? But then things started happening that he was involved in too, that made him much more of a believer. And now he's kind of on board with it. I mean, he's not where I am, and I never expect him to be where I am. I still get the, rolled eyes every once in a while, but for the most part, he's right on board. So his dad sends us dimes. I love it. So I was working with a healer at Miraval, which is one of my favorite places to go when I need healing and to work with other healers. And his dad had passed, and this woman who had never met before, I sat down in front of her, and she was going to read me, and she said, "Your husband has a car that means a lot to him, and my husband had taken his dad's convertible BMW after he passed." And I go, "Yes, he does." And she goes, "Whoever's car that is, that's who's sending you guys the dimes." And I'm like, "Oh my God, how did you know that we're getting dimes? We're finding dimes everywhere. Like, I'd open a hotel bed that was made, there'd be dime in it. You know,
Right.
we were finding dimes everywhere." And so he started finding dimes. Our son started finding dimes. And now I look forward to it. Like, now if I don't get a dime in like 2, 3 weeks, I'm like, "Hey, like, where are you?" And we were just in Aspen last weekend. I'd been shopping. I shopped a little too heavily and I was feeling a little nervous. And I'm walking down the street and there's a dime. I'm like, "Oh, good. Dad says it's okay to keep shopping. I'm all good." You know, I mean, there's nothing else in the street. It's not like somebody dumped all their change.
Right.
One dime right where my foot was stepping. And then
Right.
Father's Day, I walk into an elevator, one dime right in the floor of the elevator. I'm walking down a mountainside. Oh, ask them this. I'm curious. Walking down a mountainside in Aspen, and I find a pile of quarters, $4 exactly in quarters. If they know who it's from, I'd love to know.
The one thing I keep hearing from him, though, is the dimes. He was all about, he's so supportive of you, both you, your husband, your whole family. Such a supportive person he is. And I just keep hearing the dimes are 10 times your wealth, 10 times your wealth. He's always there helping to increase your wealth. It's like for him, it's almost like a little game to
Love
like
it.
they can do it. Everything is 10 times. I keep hearing 10 times, 10 times, 10 times.
I
It's
like
all about
that.
increasing your wealth 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. And also, so the four,
$4. I
$4.
mean,
Is
like in one day, I found $4.10 on the ground.
there,
Like,
is
that's
it, do
crazy.
you have a brother that passed, an uncle?
Who, my father-in-law?
Yes.
Yeah, his brother passed. I
Okay.
didn't really know him super well, but yes.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, because they keep going, the brother, the brother, the brother. The brother and him were conspiring, having a lot more fun. So it's like, if we can do this, we could do some more. It was a combination of him and his brother bringing that extra money into you and to show you, and that for that connection, bringing that connection into you. And they're just saying, it can be easy. It can be easy to keep, they keep showing, like, just manifesting, and he keeps saying 10 times, 10 times, 10 times,
Love
and
that.
doubling the wealth all the time. But I feel it was his brother that was there helping. It was like two little kids having fun, like, oh, what can we do next?
And it was Father's Day. It was Father's Day that I found it. I mean, we're literally on the side of a mountain. We're just walking down a mountainside. And the grass is long. And I just look down and I'm like, "What is that?" And it's just a pile of quarters. Like, everyone with me was like, "What the hell did you just find?" I'm like, "I don't even know how much is in here. It's just a pile of quarters." Nothing else. Again, somebody didn't dump out their change. It was only
Right.
quarters.
It
So it's
was
very specific and
specifically placed.
exactly $4,
Yes.
too.
Specifically placed. And it's just, they're just, I just see both of them just laughing like little kids,
See,
like,
I
oh,
freaking
what else
love that. I
can
mean, that just makes my day. Tell them to keep doing it. I have so much fun with that.
do? They are having a blast with it. But as they did that, and you've had others come into you, at what point did you let your husband know that you had been talking and communicating with those on the other side? Was that something that just little bits at a time? Were you like feeding them like little tidbits all the way through?
My husband and my son, for many, many years, ever since my son was little, knew about my boyfriend. But the reason that I would share that story was not because I'd seen him because he passed. It was a drunk driving situation. Unfortunately, he was not the driver, but everybody in the car died. And I didn't because my parents didn't let me get in the car. They punished me that night for absolutely no reason, but obviously we know the reason now, right?
Right.
But so I've shared that story with my husband and my son with the scaring for the drunk driving, you know? And so that story they've known for a long time. But then the other people that started coming, again, first and foremost, I didn't realize that everybody couldn't do it. So part of that was part of the thing. But the next time that I really shared one was right when my mom died. So my mom died, like I said earlier, she just dropped dead. It was very traumatic for all of us. My dad was still alive. And she sat at the end of my bed for 5 days, and she wasn't saying a word to me. She was just sitting there looking at me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't say it. Finally, the fifth morning, I woke up and I told my husband, I think I might need to go see like a shrink. Like something's wrong. Like, I mean, she's just sitting there looking at me. I think I might be kind of losing it since I
Right.
never got to say goodbye. And again, I was 38. This is way before I kind of put the dots together.
Right.
And in grief, obviously, grief stricken, traumatized, shock, denial, the whole thing, mad, everything.
Right.
And that day, I talked to my dad, and I'd been very hesitant to tell him too, because I didn't want to upset him.
Right.
And I finally just was at a breaking point that day, and I talked to my husband, and then I talked to my dad. And I just said, I'm so sorry to say this to you. I feel so bad, but I think I'm losing my marbles. Like, mom keeps showing up. And he starts crying, and he says, I have been waiting to know that she's okay. And you just told me she's okay. And that was the last time she came.
Nice.
So then when he passed away 6 months later, he sat at my bed one night and I'm like, got it. You're good. I'll tell my sister. And I told her, and she didn't, she doesn't believe in any of this, and that's okay. But my job was to say it. And he came only one night because I understood now. And I do remember when my boyfriend passed away, I remember going with my mom. I told my mom, I need to go talk to his mom. And, I'm 16 years old, and the poor woman lost both her sons in that one.
Wow.
So I just said, I need to go talk to her. And so we waited a few weeks, and then we went, and she was very gracious and let me in. And she showed me his room and where my picture was by his nightstand and all that. And I told her what happened. And she cried, and she said, I needed to hear that. So I didn't realize what I was doing at that point, but obviously, then my oracle skills and my medium skills were coming through. And I wasn't interpreting, I was just giving the message that I was being given,
Right.
right? So then there was a few more, there was some scary ones, one scary one in Mexico. But in the end, I was actually helping somebody cross over. I just didn't know it. We were at a hotel that was in a Mayan burial ground, but
Oh.
we didn't know, on Day of the Dead for children.
Okay. That's a great time to take a trip.
I'm going to have to do my research a little better and see where hotels are built from now on, because I mean,
Well, it's a great way to meet people, people that aren't really here,
I
but
met her. I met her. And I do share that story in the book, because it's just, I mean, but yeah. So then little by little, I just started sharing a little bit more with him as my journey unfolded, and some things were easier to accept than others, rightfully so. Some things were a little too far out there. When I started speaking in light language, he's like, what? I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know what this is. I don't know why I talk like this, But when I do breath work, I go right into light language and I channel the Hathors. And,
Nice.
I mean, so, and then Spirit had fun with me in Lionsgate last year, because nobody's ever seen me do light language except when I'm in breath work. And if I'm in a session or I'm in a group, no one's looking at you. You're all individual laying down.
Right.
But I did a Lionsgate meditation last year, 2023. And they told me, hang out, finish the meditation, get on Instagram and channel light language. I'm like, no. Are you kidding? People are going to think I'm bananas. I give feng shui tips. I'm not going to do light language. And they said, do it. And I did it, and I posted it, and I'm like, that fear again, right? What are people going to think? They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to stop following me. And I got so much support and so much great feedback. And I said during that one, if they ask me to do it again, I will. They haven't so far, but if they ask me to do it again, I will share it. So it was a transmission for Lionsgate that came through me from the Hathors. It is what it is.
And I keep hearing from them, it was also a way for you to get the correct clients for you because you had a mix of clients that were there. And this kind of helped solidify who you wanted your clients to really be. And it solidified the clients that were the best for you moving forward.
Oh, cool.
So they're just saying this was something to help you get the clients that really resonated with you. and to draw in those that were, they're just saying, I'm just hearing the laughter. The feng shui is a way for you to reach a lot of people that normally wouldn't have been reached, but because of who you are and the presence you portray, it creates the ability to reach people that normally never would have approached any of this beyond the feng shui.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. Good.
So they're so happy with that part of it. And there was something, I was going through some of your stuff, and it says, and I'm just going to go back to the one thing because there was a quote you did on clutter, and we're kind of going back and forth, but they want me to bring this
They want
back in
clutter.
again.
Sure. We're
Yeah.
helping somebody. Somebody's listening to this that needs to hear it. So that's great.
Absolutely. There was a quote you did on clutter that clutter can be more than physical items. There can be clutter in your mind as well. And that clutter, they're just saying that clutter is not only for feng shui, but also clearing yourself spiritually. And that's something that you're very good at, is clearing yourself spiritually to open yourself up to what else is out there and to find what resonates with you instead of, they're just showing me a lot of people are grabbing a lot of different aspects of the spiritual awakening per se, but then wanting to keep all of them because they learned it, they paid money to learn it. They're saying some of them had paid money to learn it, so they want to keep all that with them. And they're just saying that this is a time to realize even the spiritual clutter can be there, of letting go of what doesn't work with you and take only what you need. And that's something that you yourself, they're just saying, have been so good at, taking what you need, letting the rest go, taking what works for you, releasing the rest. And as you've continued to do that over time, have you found things are clearer when you let go of the spiritual aspects that don't serve you anymore or really didn't resonate completely?
Oh, I'd say 100%. Yes. And I'm able to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like suss out when a healer isn't maybe in the best of intentions. You know what I mean? Like not
Yes.
everybody is of the light. And I experienced a couple of those in Sedona, where, you know, you just think because they're a healer in Sedona that it's going to be light and love and not everybody is that. And sometimes you have to go through a couple of trial and errors to start understanding. And you'll feel it. I think all of us have the ability to feel it. You know, that gut, that feeling, that tightness, if you're working with someone, and this is for everybody, you know, for any time you're walking into any session, if you start getting that tightness or your gut starts to hurt or your stomach starts to churn, it's probably spirit saying this might not be the person for you, you know, or this is not working. So yes, I'm able to suss those people out and just very kindly say no, thank you. You know, because I do get asked to do workshops, I get asked to collaborate on things, and I'm just too busy sometimes, right? You know, you don't have to be
Absolutely.
nasty about it, but you can put it off enough times that the point does get across that maybe that energy is not completely aligned. And clients too. I mean, for me, it's clients too. Not just because you come to me, am I going to take you? Sometimes it's just not a good fit.
And that's exactly what they wanted to get to the heart of the matter, is to realize everybody resonates differently and to really pick and choose and be very carefully aware of who you're working with, because they're all different. Everyone's different, and everyone resonates with different people. And there's nothing right or wrong with that, but you have to know what's right for you. And that's the clutter they wanted to talk about. So
Good.
thank you for that. Because I'm like,
Sure.
let's go back here. And they're like, that is exactly why. And as you started this journey, you started writing the book. And then you kind of wanted to, you know, you said you kind of like, oh, maybe they'll leave me
Go
alone.
away.
If I just ignore them a little longer, just do what they asked me for a while and just keep stringing them along. How'd that work out for you?
Not so well. There's a best-selling book sitting next to me.
What were the points that really kind of pushed you to finally, like, okay, I'm going to actually go through this. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to publish it. What were the things that happened in there to kind of push you over the edge?
I think as the stories unfolded and as I had the experiences that I had and as I was able to connect the dots, I saw where my story could be of service to others. Because, actually part of what when he first said, you're going to do this, I'm like, truly, who cares what a white, privileged, middle-aged woman has to say? That was my response. Because I'm like, I didn't have, I mean, yes, I was adopted as a child, but I went to a good family, had a great life with them, not understanding at that point that you still have that inner child work to do when you are an adopted child of rejection and abandonment and all that. And I, part of all that is part of the book, because I did have to deal with that. So once all those things started unfolding, I started to see that my story probably could help some other people, whether it was the adoption side of it, or it was the spiritual unfolding side of it, or it was the feng shui part of it. There was something that maybe could be of help. And then that's when I felt better about moving forward with it, because I was just kind of like, I mean, you hear these stories on the news and these people have overcome these incredible odds. And I'm like, my story just doesn't feel like that. So I feel like, A, it's a waste of time and money and effort. And, who cares? People are going to go, oh, yeah, she's got something to say. So as it started happening and as I started writing and as I stuck to it, then it did start to feel like, all right, okay, I've got something. It might still go nowhere. I might self-publish and might do nothing, but instead it has. It's won three awards and became a bestseller. And I'm like, okay. So I think that's them validating for me that I did what they asked me. What I will say is I now try not to fight so much when they ask me to do something because it was hard and it was a journey. And I had to relive a lot of uncomfortable things, right? I had to relive my mom and dad's death. I had to relive a lot of the adoption trauma that I didn't even realize was there. So this book wasn't fun to write or to live through or to get to the end result, So it wasn't like, oh, it was a great experience. No, it wasn't. But then fast forward and I end up with shingles right after getting COVID, and this entire side of my face is a blister. You can't see my eye, my eyes closed, my ear, all the way down my neck and all through my scalp. I was hideous, like couldn't leave the house, hideous, and in
Wow.
a lot of pain. And
Yeah,
at that
shingles is
point,
extremely painful.
they said, okay, now you're going to write a card deck. And I'm so they used my downtime during shingles, just like they used my downtime during COVID to write the book and then to edit it. They shut me down. They physically just said, you can't walk out the door because you look like a scary monster. I did. I mean, I was walking up the stairs one day and my husband actually went like this. And I go, what? He goes, I forgot that you had the shingles. I'm like, oh my God, is it that bad? He goes, yeah, it kind of is. I'm like, it was bad. I have photos. And I mean, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. We thought maybe I was going to need a plastic surgeon because, like, to put me back together, we didn't know if my face was going to come back together or not. But thankfully, it did. But either way, in 3 weeks, I channeled the entire card deck because I
Wow.
didn't fight them. I was like, all right. Fine, you got me. I can't go anywhere. But what do you want me to say? Again, that doubting, like, well, who am I to write a card deck? There's some amazing feng shui books out there. Why do we need another one? And they're like, well, no, you're not going to write a book. You're going to write a card deck. It's an oracle deck. It's a very different thing. There isn't one out there. And then I started doing research and there is one out there. Mine's the only one. I'm like, all right. So what are we going to call this one? And they're like, what should we feng shui today? I'm like, okay, it doesn't have the word shit in it. That's good. We'll keep going. And if they just channeled through me. And in 3 weeks, that thing was done because
Nice.
I didn't fight it, which was incredible. So now I just got told the other day that there are still three books in my future. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh God. And I don't know, I'm like, all right, if you guys are saying there's three books, just, let's not fight over them. Just tell me what you want me to write and how you want me to write it and we'll do it. So that's been the biggest change for me is I don't argue anymore. I just say, fine, but help me do it.
Right. You should also tell them that you maybe you want to do one in Aruba, maybe you want to do one in Monaco.
Yeah, I mean, the last one I did in Sedona and Santa Fe, which was lovely. So I'm like, yes, find me another second home somewhere. Make me go there. I keep getting Portugal. They keep, I keep getting told by people, we're going to Portugal. You should go to Portugal. We're going to this. So I think Portugal's on my list coming up. So I must need to do something there. But yes, they can find me another really fabulous location and I'll sit down and ride away.
It makes it worth it when they do it in a fun way. I know we're getting closer to the end of our time here. I think we're already at it, but I just wanted to ask you, is there something else you'd like to talk about before we close the session? And they want me to go back for one thing first.
Go for it.
Okay, we're gonna go back because they're asking me.
It's fine.
So there was something, and I think it was just on a blog or a post you just did recently, or maybe I found it on, anyhow, but they brought it to me. Said you had things to look for in your home if you're feeling low on energy.
Oh yeah, actually, here, I'll just pull it up so I can see it because,
Let's see, because I think
it's
you
been a
just
minute.
you did that one, and it was how to realize things in your home can be drawing that energy from you.
Wow, they are really into the feng shui and the decluttering today, aren't they?
Right?
That is funny. So whoever your audience is needing to hear this.
Yes.
So yes, so I'll read this post and then we can chat about it a bit. So things to look for if you are feeling low on energy. First and foremost, we can all have low energy days, right? I mean, every day is not, hey, yay. But if you're consistently feeling low and there's no physical reason why you should be, you know, you're not ill, there's not, you know, something going on. If you notice it in your kids or your spouse or your animals, like if you just feel a very low energy vibe, things to look for. Furniture bought at antiques or thrift stores. And the reason for this is predecessor chi. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you bought furniture at an antique or a thrift store, but what you're bringing into your house is everybody else's energy that owned the furniture before you.
Nice.
So you could be bringing in a 200, 300-year-old piece of furniture, right? And whoever's owned it and whatever their crap was has just come into your home. So a lot of, and antiques also, you know, you think of something that's antique. What's the first word that comes to your mind? Old,
Old.
right? That's the first thing that
Old.
comes to your mind. So old energy, feeling old, feeling down, because older people tend to, you know, shrink into themselves and old. So doesn't mean you can't have them, but you have to space clear them before you bring them into your house. You know, so take Palo Santo, take a smudge stick, take whatever kind of space clearing tool you like. You can take a drum, you can take a bell, a rattle, anything that you can that's going to break up that energy and release it before it comes into your space so it doesn't like affect the energy in your space. Okay, what else did I have on there? Broken items, we talked about that. Too many items on the ground, toys, baskets, shoes, anything at eye level or below. Like where we live, we don't have basements because it would flood, but you do. But anything for us at eye level or below eye level would count as subconscious. So that means that your subconscious is weighing heavily on you. And if your eye is constantly drawn towards the floor and you have to watch where you're stepping because there's so much crap all over the floor, then, you know, you're looking down. You're always looking down, which then brings your energy down. Too much oversized dark furniture, that seems pretty self-explanatory. You know, you want things to scale in your home. Lack of light or fresh air. You know, I don't care if it's cold or hot. We open at least our front door for a few, even if it's 30 seconds every single day. I don't care if it's raining or it's 100 degrees or there's mosquitoes. It's just letting in that air. Open your windows during the day. Like, even if it's just the blinds, open the curtains. I had one client that said, no, I like everything closed. And she was mid 40s, never been married, cat lady, and not happy. And I'm like, well, you're not even giving your child, like, you've closed in your world. And she worked from home. So she never left, she never went outside. I'm like, at least open the blinds. No. And I mean, I ended up stopping working with her because I'm like, there's only so much I can do. So I brought in different levels of artificial light and bright colors just to kind of lift the environment. But you know, you have to meet me halfway too, and you have to want to change the energy in your space too. Unfinished projects, back to mental clutter, right? Because that's weighing on you back here somewhere. It's always going around. drab paint, another one, just dull drab. Clutter at eye level, we talked about that, blocks opportunities in your everyday life. Sad, chaotic artwork. I pay very close attention to the artwork in my clients' homes and in mine. I was walking up our staircase one day in our other house, and I hadn't, you put up those walls of staircases, that you have the family wall and you have pictures and you have artwork mixed in and it looks really pretty. And then one day I just stopped to like look at what was in those frames and look and see what was in the pictures. And then I started going, okay, well, it just in this one picture, divorced, dead, overdosed, ended up being a cheater, and I'm like, whoa, like that's the energy that's in the center of my home because the staircase was in the center of our home. So look at your artwork, look at the pictures that are around your home. The sad clown, the chaotic, super, super, super contemporary, but just a whole bunch of circles or splatters. If that gives you these feelings that,
Anxiety.
then you got to get rid of it, For people who want a partner, if you have a lot of single subject artwork, you're calling in just being single. So bring in artwork of things in pairs. It doesn't have to be people in pairs, but things in pairs. Dead plants and flowers, pretty self-explanatory, dead energy, So yeah, that is a good one. I'm glad that they wanted us to bring it back. Somebody is needing very much to hear this. So we are reaching people that are needing to hear this because they are very insistent on this topic, which is unusual. So
Absolutely. That's why I'm like, why are we keep going back to this? But
it's for someone, so I'm glad.
the spirituality, the feng shui and the spirituality really go hand in hand. And especially, like you said, with people, and this is the one thing they're like the big tidbit in there was when people are looking to find another partner to have things in pairs versus single is something important and happy things in their house instead of things that are sometimes angry or sad, or the pictures of people, like you said, that they might not have been the greatest people all the time, or maybe they're not here anymore. Why do you have them there? That's
There's
very
places for ancestors. Like there's a gray area, your family and ancestor area, which would be if you're at your front door and I'm looking in, it's going to be the center left of your home. Great place to honor your ancestors and have pictures of deceased loved ones and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, a whole bunch of divorces and deaths and OD, like you don't need that energy. And I'll share a super quick story with you. We were looking for our home in Sedona. And it was a split level home, so already the energy is going like this, right? And then we go downstairs, and they're telling me to tell this story, so okay. I walk into this room, and I hope to God that these people have changed it. My heart just breaks for these children. There was three twin beds. It was obviously like a basement because it was built on the side of a mountain, so it was like the room on the bottom, right? The door is at the mid level, and so there's only like tall casement windows, so very little light coming in. Above each twin bed was a hanging clown, like with the creepy clown face, and hung by a wire to the ceiling, looking down at the bed. And I just walked in there and I turned around, I walked back upstairs. I go, nope. And I told a real estate agent, I'm like, please, 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 for the sake of these children, tell these people to take that down. Like, how do these children even sleep? And then at their front door were two spitting cobras, like the Talavera pottery, that Mexican pottery that's super brightly painted on each side as you're walking up to the front door in cobra mode, spitting cobras at you. I'm like, well, that's very well. I'm like, get me the hell out of this house. Like, I don't know who lives here, but it's crazy people. I'm out. And it was a beautiful home, and I just refused. I'm like, no, just no,
Good
So
choice.
little things like that, you have to pay attention to what you put in your house. Like, I mean, that how does anybody, I mean, these poor kids, you just keep going back to these poor children.
I wouldn't want to be the children in that
No, I mean, you go to sleep to a hanging clown and you get home from school to spitting cobras. I mean, and if the people of this house are listening to this podcast, you know what to go do. Get rid of all of it for the sake of
Please remove the clowns and
please.
the
So just you, and you become blind to it after a while. So just like walk into your house and walk around like you're visiting for the first time and really pay attention to what's on your walls. What's on your shelves? Like, what are you surrounding yourself with? Because that's going to affect you all day, every day, and your kids
Yeah.
and your pets and everybody in the house.
Absolutely. And that's something people don't realize is to take a moment and walk in your house with fresh eyes. Because when you do that, a lot of people want to get closer spiritually and opening a space to be open to receiving information. So before you do that, maybe take a look around your house to say, what am I doing that might be blocking that information from coming into me? And that's the biggest thing I hear from them is getting into the spirituality for so many people is so important and it's opening people's eyes, but they're forgetting to look around what's around them to help them on their journey of spirituality, to help them be looking forward to all those synchronicities that come in, like everything you've been experienced, all the synchronicities with that. And the, you can't make this shit up. You really can't. When you
I
start
mean,
going down the
the
road,
hanging clowns, really? Yeah.
that's scary.
Oh, it's beyond. I think I had a nightmare that night. I've been so traumatized by that. That was in 2018, and I'm still thinking about it. I mean, just
I feel sorry for the kids.
right. That's all. I mean, my heart just breaks for them. I'm like, I wanted to just take them down myself, but yeah. Then you have to
Yeah.
respect other people's spaces too, right? You can't do that either.
No, you have to respect that. But I just want to thank you so much and encourage people. If you're looking at having Alejandra to come in or to FaceTime, go through your house, find what those blockages might be around you. You offer that service to people, and I think it's so important for people to look at that. If you're really looking at decluttering, start with looking at it in a different way. And Alejandra, you are amazing, I
Oh,
feel.
thank
And they're
you.
just saying you have helped so many people already. The amount of people you've helped, not only help them with their homes, but in their own spirituality because you helped open up their homes. They're just so thankful and knowing they just want you to know what an impact you're having, even for people who only want the home stuff. What you're helping with on such a spiritual aspect of opening them up to everything else that's around them. I just hear like clapping from the other side for you, for they're like, you have to realize what you're accomplishing in such a different way and reaching people that would never have been reached in a different way.
This was like the best interview ever. I mean, like, I never thought I'd get to chat with it. Like, this is amazing. I could stay here all day with you. This is so much fun.
It's been so much fun. And I would chat all day too, but I know we've got time
No,
constraints.
I know.
But I appreciate everything you're doing. And I really want to encourage everyone check out your book. The I can't I just can't make this shit up. It's such a fun, it's a fun way, just with the title, a fun way for people to really kind of dive in deep on a lot of things in their life, opening things up without taking themselves quite so seriously. And I think that's something that's important going forward because there is a lot of hard and heavy and challenging things people go through in life. And to start off on a little bit on a lighter note is so important. And I'm so glad you did that. And listen to their nudging, sometimes pushing it. They're like showing pushing you into the water. Was so fun.
Gentle, you guys, gentle, please.
They weren't so gentle with you.
I know. Mm-hmm.
But I just want to thank you again. And I want to encourage people, make sure to check out Alejandra's information. Go on Amazon and on her website. And if you're looking at getting your own feng shui done in your house to open things up, make sure to check her out. And it's Alejandra Brady. I don't think the G is in your
No, for
website.
my
It's
website, it's just alejandrabrady.com.
Alejandra Brady. And those that information, the links will also be down below and also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. So definitely make sure to check out everything with Alejandra because she is amazing. I've got to say, I am so impressed with you and impressed with everything you offer. And they're also bringing me up for people that are looking for just tidbits of things to go on your website because you have like a different, I don't know if it's blogs or what, I can't remember what it was under, but with the different tidbits of different subjects to go on there, because you have so much great information for
Oh,
people.
thank you. Yeah, and I'm on Instagram a lot too. I'm very, very active on Instagram, but my Instagram feeds into my website, so that's probably what they're all kind of talking
Nice.
about. So you can kind of
Yes.
see it all together.
It's you have so much great information on there. So I encourage everyone to go out and check that out for sure. And if you have anything else to say, Alejandra, before we close.
No, I'm just so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to all our teams that showed up and played with us today, because truly the best interview I've ever done in my life. I feel like I had a whole session with you, and so just grateful to everybody, and I hope that we have helped whoever definitely needed to be helped with the clutter information. I feel that was so specific because there's
Yes.
so many avenues in feng shui, so it was obviously very definitively for your audience. So I hope that those people hear it and work with it.
Awesome. And thank you so much. This has been so enjoyable for me, so much fun. My team is just, they're just having so much fun today with everything. It's been so much fun, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you greatly. I appreciate for
Thank
everything
you.
you've shared, because there are so many different aspects that is going to be helping a lot of people with this interview. So thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome.
And I just want to thank you again, Alejandra, so much for your time, sharing your knowledge. And I want to remind everyone to make sure, if you've missed any past episodes, you can always go on and listen to the podcast, and also go on my YouTube channel, Angela Zabel, teacher coach medium, and you can listen and watch the interviews. I feel it's so much better to watch them a lot of times. And also, the next ones are always coming up on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So make sure to catch the next ones coming up. And also, I want to thank all of you for listening and expanding and amplifying our universe together. Thank you all, and have an absolutely amazing day.